the whole truth? Nothing but the truth. The hidden truth. The vital human drama of the famous lie detector, bringing you authentic case history from the files of the late Leonard Keeler, one of the world's foremost scientific criminologists. Mr. Keeler's real-life part is played by Hart McGuire, who reveals from week to week some of the most baffling human dramas of our time. The Hidden Truth.
No other scientific development for the detection of crime has received as much publicity as the polygraph or so-called lie detector. Nationwide publicity has made the public lie detector conscious. But one individual who follows the career of the lie detector with much more than passing interest, the one who reads every article written about it with avid attention, is the criminal or the potential criminal. Through careful study of the records, the criminal knows the lie detector is better than 90% accurate in exposing the hidden truth. And he knows the polygraph has brought about more confessions than any other form of crime investigation. Thus, the criminal has learned to fear the polygraph with a deep and a horrible dread. And the very prospect of being submitted to a lie test often forces a confession in advance of the test itself. A criminal's fear of the lie detector is the basis for tonight's drama. The drama of a man with an uncontrollable urge. The urge to kill women. Mrs. Alvin Van S., an attractive woman in her middle 30s, had a feeling that something was wrong. Her husband of just a few months had been staying away for days at a time. And Mrs. Van S. had become obsessed with the suspicion that he was living a double life. That Alvin Van S. was married to another woman. She was so convinced her suspicions were well-founded that she sent for a private detective named Harry Underwood.
4 whole days. I haven't seen Alvin in 4 whole days, Mr. Underwood.
How long have you, say, been married to him?
Since the 15th of April. That's less than 2 months ago.
I've tagged plenty of guys who go out on private joyrides away from their wives, but most of them have been married more than 2 months.
I never should have given him that property.
You gave him some property?
2 days after the wedding, he told me the only way to have a marriage turn out successfully is to permit the husband to run all of his wife's affairs.
The guy's a super salesman. I can never make my little woman buy that kind of fiction. Matter of fact, she runs my affairs. And now?
Above everything else, I wanted our marriage to be successful. But now I realize how foolish I was.
Tell me, Mrs. Van S., how long did you know this, Alvin before you married him?
Well, it was terribly sudden. I answered an ad in the paper.
What? You mean he advertised for a wife?
Yes.
Lady, you don't need a private detective. You need a brain specialist.
Oh, I know. But if you could understand how lonely I've been since my parents died and left me.
Left you with a nice, fat parcel of real estate. You still got that ad?
Yes. It's right here on my desk.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
What's that pile of stationery? Is that your signature signed at the bottom of each sheet?
Alvin asked me to sign the stationery for him.
Alvin did, eh?
He said I was to be his partner in business. He said he'd have to write a lot of letters to clients, and it would save a lot of time if I signed blank stationery in advance.
Yeah, may I see that ad?
Here it is.
An affluent gentleman, neat appearing, and of courteous disposition, well connected in the business way, has quite a little property and is connected with several corporations. That's a nice bank account, as well as a nest egg of government defense bonds. Would be pleased to correspond with a refined lady or widow with equal financial holdings. Object, matrimony, and business partnership. This advertisement is in good faith. answers will be treated with respect. Alvin G. Van S. Town House. Same old come on.
Well, have you seen that ad before, Mr. Underwood?
Well, not this particular ad, but 100 just like it. How old are you, Mrs. Van S.?
Well, I...
Come on. I'm not going to broadcast it. I'm just professionally curious, that's all.
I'm 36.
36? And you let some guy rook you for your property? You act more like 16.
Oh, please, Mr. Underwood, I hired you to help me. I know I was a fool, but all I want now is my property back and my marriage annulled.
So that's all you want, as simple as that, eh? Maybe the guy's acting in good faith. It isn't easy to prove fraud between husband and wife.
How can he be in good faith when he's away half the time? There's another woman. I know there is.
Well, there might be. But what makes you sure he's married to her?
Well, because he's away exactly half the time. He's with me 4 days and with her 4 days.
That's not much to go on, you know. But if he's in real estate, he might be away for 4 days at a time on legit business.
But there's something else, Mr. Underwood.
Yeah?
He told me he'd never been married before.
Oh. You think he has been?
I know he has. He's so experienced with women. You've got to find that other woman, Mr. Underwood. It's the only way I'll ever get my property back and get out of this awful mess.
Well, when did you see him last?
This morning. When he left, he said he'd be away on his usual 4-day business trip.
Now, look, Mrs. Van S., I'll try to get a line on him, but if I don't, I'll have to wait till he comes home and tell him on his next trip out. But if you want me to help you, don't do anything that might tip him off. Just act like the devoted bride, and whatever you do, don't let him know you suspect anything. The assignment given Harry Underwood by Mrs. Alvin Van Hess was similar to many cases he'd handled before, with similar complications. As a private detective without official police department sanction, Harry knew he had no legal authority to make arrests or to force entrance. But his job was to get evidence for private clients such as Mrs. Van S., and if that evidence pointed to crime or misdemeanor, the district attorney's office would have to take it from there. After making the usual check at railroad, bus, and airport with no definite leads on Alvin Van S., Underwood went to the address Van S. had listed in his newspaper ad, the townhouse. He didn't go to the registration desk. Instead, he went to a friend of his of long standing, Carl Steger, the hotel's house detective.
Van S., sir?
Yeah. His wife's a client of mine.
His wife? Since when's he had a wife?
Since a couple of months ago. Why? Is that a surprise to you, Carl?
Not to me, it ain't. But I know a lot of dames around this hotel will cry their eyes out if they ever find out about it.
Yeah? Keeps a stable full of fillies, huh?
He ain't keeping them, Harry. As far as I can figure out, they're keeping him.
Bad. Hey, maybe you and me ought to take a few lessons from that guy. Say, what's he got?
That being a dame, I couldn't answer that. Yeah. To me, he's just a plain-looking little schmo with kind of droopy eyes and a long, sad face. Maybe he's got something that don't show right offhand.
Yeah. Is he still living here?
Not right now. Checks in and out from time to time. I ain't seen him in a couple of months. Guess he's coming back, though.
Well, what makes you think so?
Last time he checked out, he left a couple of bags stored down the basement.
A couple of bags, huh?
Yeah. I know what you're thinking, Harry, and the answer is uh-uh.
I thought you're a friend of mine, Carl.
Not good enough to lose my job over. I don't come in for monkeying with guest baggage.
Carl, if I were to send you out for beef steak and you just happened to leave your pass key here on your desk.
That's lost, Harry.
If you were to accidentally tell me the number of the storage locker where the Van S. bags are kept.
Not a chance, Harry.
And if I were to forget all about the sawbuck I loaned you 6 months ago?
You checked that off the books, huh?
I will.
The stuff is in locker 16, and here's the key. Just leave it on my desk when you're through, but don't take nothing with you out of that locker.
Thanks, Carl.
No, just wait till I get out of the building before you go to work. If I ain't here, nobody can hold me responsible for nothing.
At almost that very moment, Alvin Van S. The little man with the droopy eyes and the long face was in another city about 75 miles away. Specifically, he was drifting on a park lagoon in a rented boat. The companion who snuggled close beside him was a comely red-haired woman in her early 40s. Yes, Martha?
When I answered your ad, I didn't really expect anything but wonderful affairs.
Oh? What did you expect?
Well, I was terribly suspicious at first. I thought it was just a trick to take my securities away from you.
Such a thought. I'm positively astounded and I'm deeply hurt.
Oh, now that I know you, and now that I've become your wife, I'm not suspicious anymore, and I wouldn't hurt you for the world.
My dear, I thought I'd give you very good reasons for turning over your securities to me. To contract a successful marriage, a husband and wife must form a partnership with the husband naturally at the head of the corporation.
Oh, naturally.
Must you sign such a disgusting manner, Myrtle? You've been snorting like that all evening.
Alvin!
Things like that get on my nerves, my dear. There's so many irritating things about women.
Oh, but Alvin, I had no idea that... what are you going to do?
Just because of those irritating things, the Lord only knows how many women I've killed, Myrtle.
Killed?
I have no control over myself. Something's making me do it. I can't stop. I can't stop. Woman in the world, I'd kill all of them.
Early the next morning, Private Detective Harry Underwood called at the office of District Attorney Frank Dennis.
Now, don't go asking this office to help you out in any of your private deals, Underwood. I just let you in here for laughs.
Ah, very funny.
Last time I helped you out, all I got was a panning from the newspapers, and you collected a fat fee.
Now, Frank, tell me, in your book, bigamy is a crime, isn't it?
Huh? What do you got, Harry?
Bigamy.
You sure?
Unless you dump the whole case in your desk.
I found it.
There's a suitcase in the storage locker over the townhouse. Women's clothes, half a dozen cheap wedding rings, 8 marriage licenses, and Mr. Carson jewelry, and $8,000 worth of defense bonds.
Now, wait a minute. How did you get into that suitcase?
Frank, come now. Remember the ethics of our profession. You don't really expect me to answer that, do you?
Whose case are you working on?
Private husband and wife deal. The wife suspected another woman and put me on the trail, that's all.
What's the name?
Van S. Alvin Van S.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet he checked the files on Van S. Alvin. Now, Banis, V as in Victoria, bring in anything you find.
Don't know what the guy's real name might be. Those marriage licenses in the suitcase give you a choice of 8 different ones.
There's a suitcase now.
Locker 16 at the townhouse. You don't think for a minute I'd lift it, do you?
Yes, I do, Harry. You've lifted hotter evidence than that.
Sometimes I wonder why I do business with you, Dennis. You're an insulting kind of guy, you know that?
Yeah. Insults roll off your back like a bucket of wort. Yes, Betty.
I couldn't find anything on Alvin Van Ness in the files, Mr. Dennis.
Yes, but what?
A man's waiting outside to see you. And his name is Alvin Van Ness.
The Hidden Truth continues in just a moment.
Before admitting Alvin Van Ness into his office, District Attorney Frank Dennis sent Harry Underwood out the side door with instructions to pick up the incriminating suitcase as quickly as possible. This time, Harry was armed with an official order permitting him to enter the locker and seize the suitcase. As soon as the private detective was on his way, Alvin Van Ness was ushered in.
Sit down, Mr. Van Ness.
No, thank you. I'm altogether too outraged to relax.
Oh? What's your complaint?
Mr. Dennis? I've been robbed of $8,000 worth of defense bonds.
Defense bonds? Who'd rob you of those? They can't be cashed without your signature.
Yes, but other things are missing, too. Jewelry and important things.
Well, suppose you give me the details.
Yes, well, when I checked out of the townhouse to get married, I left some bags there for storage. When I went to claim them today, I discovered the theft. The contents of one of the bags had been completely removed.
Hmm. Under the circumstances, Mr. Van Ness, I think I'd better lay a few cards on the table.
What? Are you insinuating that you know something about this?
Just this. For reasons of his own, a private detective searched your suitcases last night.
Harry Van Ness. Come on, who's the authority?
Unfortunately, private detectives are impulsive. He sometimes acts without legal authority of any kind.
I demand his arrest.
I'll be only too happy to comply with your demands, but I feel that I must inform you that he reported marriage licenses in that suitcase and wedding rings and other such paraphernalia suggesting that you might be a bigamist, Mr. Van Ess.
A bigamist? Marriage license? Wedding rings? Why, the only marriage license I know anything about is the one issued when I was married 2 months ago. The only wedding ring I ever bought is on my wife's finger right now. That man's trying to frame me, deliberately frame me. And he's the thief who stole those bonds.
I wouldn't put it past him, but I hardly think he'd take that kind of a chance.
But who hired him? Who hired him to investigate my belongings?
I'm afraid you'll have to discuss that with him. For obvious and ethical reasons, I'll have to withhold his client's name.
Did my wife hire him?
To change the subject, let's get back to this alleged robbery.
Did my wife hire him?
I suggest that you go home and wait until I call. I'm going to handle this case personally, and I promise you fast action. You can depend on that.
Greetings, my dear.
Oh, Alvin.
What's this? Florence, you're trembling.
Why, of course I am. I didn't expect you home for 2 more days, Alvin. I couldn't imagine who was walking in here without knocking.
Well, I finished my business rather earlier than I anticipated. Perfume?
Do you like it?
I don't know. What do you call it, Florence?
It has a silly name. Well, you know how silly names of perfumes are.
What name have they given the perfume you're using?
Hmm? It's called Sudden Death.
Sudden Death. Appropriate.
Alvin, you look terribly strange. Are you angry with me?
It's merely an urge, my dear.
Urge?
Yes. An urge to take you by the throat like this.
Alvin! Alvin! Oh, Mr. Underwood is here with the suitcase, Mr. Dennis. And he brought Mr. Stager with him.
Mr. who?
Mr. Stager, Carl Stager. The detective at the townhouse.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, show those file advances in here.
I heard that, Dennis, and I don't like the record.
Let's have that suitcase, Harry.
It won't do you any good. My pal Stagey here saw a chance to clean it out and put the rap on me.
I cleaned nothing out. Harry Underwood wheedled the pass key out of me and got me out of the building. I wasn't even around when he lifted the stuff out of that bed.
Betty.
Yes, Mr. Dennis?
Outside.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's get this straight. I understand from the compliments you gentlemen are exchanging that suitcase is quite empty.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, as you know, I've been plagued considerably by private detectives who overstep the bounds of their authority.
Now, don't start that again, Frank. After all, a living is a living, and
Either you or Stager or Alvin Van Ess, or all three of you are in for a cooling off. Now, we're all going out to the Van Ess place right now and find out which way the chips fall.
Mr. Dennis, it's quite obvious to me that this entire thing is a frame-up between this Underwood person and my wife.
It's no frame-up, Van Ness. Your wife suspected you of bigamy, and I had the goods on you until you cleaned that suitcase out yourself.
Preposterous.
You notice, Mr. Dennis, he's quit laying it under me and blaming Van Ness, for which I am grateful indeed.
Shut up, all of you.
Shut up. Now, Mr. Van Ness, if your wife has any suspicions, I'd like to question her about them. Where is she?
Has she left me this note, Mr. Dennis, and... she's gone out of town to visit relatives in the West.
Hey, let me see that note. Yeah, what do you think you're doing, Underwood?
Frank,
he wrote this himself on a typewriter. I saw a whole pile of blank stationery where he got his wife to sign at the bottom of each page.
What?
Why, that's absurd.
Absurd? Well, I'll show you.
Here, see how did that get?
Underwood.
What the...
He's cleared all out, Frank. The whole file's gone.
Now, look here, Milton.
Look here,
all of you. Now, I want all three of you to get into my car. We're going down to see Keeler at the lie detector lab and get to the bottom of this thing.
Lie detector?
Yes, the Keeler polygraph. Any objections, Mr. Van Ness?
Why should I object?
You know better than I. What about you, Harry?
If Van Ness will go for it, count me in.
Digger? Well, of course, working around a hotel, a man is subjected to certain temptations, and it might be embarrassing.
The only question Keeler will ask you will pertain to this particular case. Now, what about it?
Well, under them conditions, it's okay.
Alvin Van Ness was the first to enter one of my private interrogation rooms. Mr. Van Ness, are you familiar with the way the polygraph operates?
Yeah, I've read quite a bit about it, yes.
Then you know there's very little chance to beat the polygraph, Mr. Van Ness.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Are you ready to go ahead with the test?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
Van Ness, what are you doing with that penknife?
I'm quite ready, Keith.
No, Dennis! Dennis, come in here! What's he done?
Almost midnight at the county hospital. Frank, Dennis, and I had been waiting hours for a report on the condition of Alvin Van Ness. If he improved, we might get the story. If not, the secret of his crimes might die with him. Oh, how does he look, Dr. Fleming?
We've stopped the loss of blood, and he's resting pretty comfortably. Any chance of talking to him tonight, Doctor?
In a few minutes.
The nurse is getting him ready.
I think you've got a moral imbecile on your hands, gentlemen.
A what?
That term was originated by the early criminologists, Frank. They figured out about 20% of the people apprehended for major crimes are suffering from some moral defect.
Moral imbecile, huh?
Unfortunately, individuals in this group rarely, if ever, respond to any form of treatment thus far devised by society.
I'm genuinely sorry, gentlemen.
Dennis!
I'm genuinely sorry, gentlemen, but I couldn't control myself. My nurse was an irritating woman, and therefore I found it necessary to kill her.
In the stark white light of a hospital room, we heard the unbelievable confession of Alvin Van Ness. A confession forced by his fear of the lie detector. A confession that made the fancied crimes of Bluebeard insignificant in comparison.
I must have been born with some strange personal magnetism over women, but they were all repulsive to me. All of them. It seemed quite easy for me to marry women who were refined and educated and had small fortunes of their own. Sometimes I was married to as many as four at the same time, living in the same city.
You mean none of these wives suspected the game you were playing?
Only Florence suspected. You'll find her body underneath the board floor of my garage.
Yes. About those blank sheets of writing paper you got your wives to sign.
Oh, yes. After I murdered a wife, I would continue writing to her friends and relatives. I would use a typewriter about her own signature. In that way, there would be no suspicion of anything that happened to her.
Just how many wives have you killed, Mr. Van Ness?
I really couldn't tell you.
What? Don't you know?
There were so many. The two I pushed over the falls at Alberta, the one in the Park Lagoon, the one who lisped to the point of driving me out of my mind, and...
How many, Vanis? How many?
I can't be sure. There must have been at least 20.
20?
I couldn't control myself. Something snapped inside my head. I had to kill women.
All women.
home, Dodd. Think a psychiatrist and find out what makes a man like Van Ness tick.
Possibly, but I doubt it, Frank. I'm inclined to agree with August Palmer, who's rated as the greatest criminologist in the country today.
What's his theory?
According to Mr. Palmer, there's no single cause of crime. The reasons for delinquency are complex. Punishment is not the solution. There's no simple remedy. The homicidal impulses of Alvin Van S. might have been checked in the formative stages of childhood, but who knows? It's a job for science, Frank. And all we can do is keep working at it and hope someday we'll find the right answer.